This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
The spirit, that is what we want to hear, a bit of uplifting music there to bash coronavirus out of the UK, because listeners, it is all going off. No football until April 3rd, or at least that's what we've been told for now. Games against Wigan, Forest and Birmingham all postponed for the Terriers. We're going to be getting into that. We are going to be hearing from Chief Exec Mark Devlin and everything he said about the coronavirus crisis and how that might impact Huddersfield Town, how it might impact the EFL, how it's going to impact fans moving forward, of course. On this, the Huddersfield Town Fan Show on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. It's me, Matt Beadle, joined by Brady Frost of the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Hello, Brady.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Great having you on the show this evening. Bit of an odd evening. Been saying that for every fan show. Sound like a bit of a broken record, because ordinarily on our fan shows we would discuss the weekend's action just gone. We'd look ahead to the upcoming action for the weekend. We talk about players, we talk about the manager, we talk about tactics, strategy, everything else that you discuss with football. But there is none. There's none until April the 3rd. So we're kind of left in limbo a little bit here. And because the subject is quite simply too big to ignore, we're going to have to talk about COVID-19. Yes, coronavirus that is sweeping through the nation. Mikel Arteta and Chelsea Callum Hudson-Odoi, two managers and players respectively who have tested positive for the virus. The result of last night with Mikel Arteta being tested positive was, of course, the catalyst for the governing bodies to all get together and say that football hath been postponed. This came moments after Prime Minister Boris Johnson, of course, said that no football was going to be postponed. So it's been quite a whirlwind 24 hours. As a football fan, how have you taken it?
Well, I think it's ultimately the right decision. I mean, it's frustrating because, you know, as a football fan, you want matches to go ahead, you want to attend the games, and the season's not too far off. But, you know, it's a global outbreak and it needs to be contained. And at the end of the day, this is more important than football. You know, it's people's health. And, you know, it's just important that we can, you know, do what we can to contain it.
100% I agree with you, and that is exactly, of course, what Mark Devlin has come out and said. Delighted to say we've got Ian Dunn with us now as well. Hello, Ian.
Hi there, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, buddy. Ex-Huddersfield Town player, of course, on the line with us. Great to have you with us. Now, naturally, Ian, you missed the start of the show, but we're, of course, talking about Huddersfield Town's game at the weekend. Oh, no, sorry, no, we're not. We're talking about coronavirus instead.
Yeah.
And an unprecedented scenario in British football, modern football, certainly. It is quite staggering, the scenes over the course of the past 24 hours or so. And Mark Devlin has said that. He said, listen, no one at the club, not me, in 20-odd years of working in professional football, has ever come across a situation like this before. And you, as a player, we spoke to Andy Campbell, the former Cardiff player, on the Cardiff City fan show earlier on this evening, and he said, nah, listen, I can't think of anything that came close to this.
I mean, yeah, 100%. I mean, the thing is, it totally eclipses football, doesn't it? I've never experienced anything like this in my lifetime. I'm 50 this year, scarily, and I've never experienced anything like this. It seems like we're on the verge of, you know, not doomsday scenario, but it's as close as it can be as far as never mind just football, just general life. Everything seems to be shutting down. I think we're all going to have to respect what's coming. We're being warned, we're being told, listen, we're not even at the peak of where this is going. Our experts are sort of taking a punt on how to contain things, delay things. You're hearing, you know, the message coming through from our leaders. And we're all just going to have to respect that this thing, this virus, is a dangerous thing, and we're going to have to abide by it, the rules that come our way.
We certainly are. Now, Brady, 37 games gone in the Championship, 9 left to play. Huddersfield Town 3 points clear of that relegation zone. I've been putting it to all fans this evening as to what they prefer to do for the season. What would you prefer to do? 9 games to go. As things stand, you are still a Championship club. If they were to say, right, do you know what, we'll cut the season off now and everything gets scrapped, we go again next season, or would you rather risk it and have the 9 games left to play?
Well, I suppose it's a difficult one, really, because as Ian said, we don't. It's not, the virus isn't even meant to be at its peak, so I think it's one of them where we'll have to wait and see. I mean, personally, I think Huddersfield would be safe anyway, even if the season was to resume, the 9 games were remaining to play. I think what would be interesting is if, as you've kind of mentioned, April the 3rd until it's suspended, but if that was to continue, how the games would play, because obviously we were meant to be playing Wigan tomorrow, but you'd assume that would, the 3 games we're missing in this period would be added on at the end. Now, obviously, that could have different effects. So, I think Huddersfield would be fine either way. I think it will be interesting when football does resume, what happens, because obviously going into this game, Wigan were 3rd in the form table. So it was quite a different, you know, quite an interesting proposition for Huddersfield, and maybe a difficult game. But if we have a 2-week break and we come back and Wigan is the game, for instance, it could be completely different. So, yeah, I suppose it's a difficult one because we're all just kind of waiting and seeing what happens.
Well, we're all wildly speculating at the moment, aren't we? It's such a strange situation, Ian. And the EFL have been slightly criticised for the statement that they've made and the comments that they've put out, because it's relatively short, it's quite brief. But I don't really know what else they could say right now other than say, listen, we've all got together. The Premier League got together, the WSL got together, the FA, the Premier League. You know, we all sat down and said, right, what do we do? And the decision that they made, shortly after Boris Johnson, by the way, had come out, you know, the previous afternoon and said, no, all sport is going to go ahead. It might be a burden a bit later on, and almost suggested that we just summon that British bulldog spirit and wash our hands and crack on, we can fight this. And the governing bodies, after the news about Mikel Arteta broke, I think it was 20 minutes later, were like, right, we need to have a meeting in the morning. They did that. They've decided, no, we're not going to have football going ahead. Many other sports have followed suit as well, of course. The Masters cancelled, for crying out loud. The Melbourne Grand Prix cancelled. So I think there's only so many words the EFL could have actually put out other than saying, you know, the Football League season is going to be over. What else could they have said?
But I absolutely 110% agree. The truth is, and I feel the truth is, and we've got a lot of experts in this country, and by the way, none of the EFL, you know, the people on the panel, they're all following the experts' advice. And when that's sort of fluctuated this week, as you say, and that is just purely down to the fact that nobody really knows the full extent of what's happening. It'd be too easy to dismiss someone to say that this is, you know, this is worse than we even think it is now, because it has gradually got, or it's quickly, you know, got worse as this week's progressed. So I don't think anyone really knows what's going on. So no, I think any statement that comes out, it'd be harsh to judge them for being a weak statement, because they don't really know what's going on. But ultimately, what they've had to do is cancel football, which is secondary to the grand scheme of things. So people saying they've made the decision late, no one knew what was going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. So it's a real, real tough one to do. And ultimately, better late than never, it's happened. Let's have a break. Let's everyone abide by the rules that are being given by the experts. Wash your hands. Don't sneeze on people. Look after yourselves. Self-isolate if you feel ill. We're just going to have to, as a country, as a nation, as a people, follow the rules.
Do you know what? from what you've just said there, Ian, I have actually waited all evening to say this, but I'm going to say it now. Everybody keeps telling me to wash my hands, right? I've always washed my hands. Who hasn't been washing their hands this whole time? Who sneezes on people, for crying out loud? Who doesn't put their hand over their mouth when they cough and sneeze? I can't believe it. People keep saying to me, are you washing your hands? Yeah. Yes, I wash my hands so many times a day because I'm aware that germs are everywhere. As I leave this studio tonight, I will go straight into the toilet and wash my hands because I do that day after day after day. It's unfathomable to me that actually people haven't been doing this their whole lives.
It's scary. You brought up to wash your hands. I certainly was, and if I didn't, my mother would clip my bum. You know, it's as simple as that. But it's quite apparent that maybe as a country, our cleanliness standards have we got complacent. You know, I won't go too graphic, but you can be in the men's toilets and at work with people of higher position than I, and you hear them and they don't wash their hands, and you think, crikey, where have you? Who brought you up? Sort of thing. So people's habits and standards, we're going to have to raise them, because this is the kind of virus that it will thrive amongst people that don't take care. Simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely. And toilets are certainly breeding grounds, aren't they? In football grounds as well, which is where we are led to believe potentially there is the possibility of games being held behind closed doors. Now, this would lead fans, of course, to flee more likely to the pub and actually gather together and watch games there. We had Dr. Sarah Jarvis, the clinical director at Patient Access, on the Kelvin McKenzie show earlier on today with Johnny Burrow and Steve Hodge. Here is what she had to say on that particular matter.
I think it's a really interesting one, and it clearly, from your perspective, is extremely important to the millions of football fans and other sports fans in this country. What we need to bear in mind is that 30,000 people gathered in one place in the open air is almost certainly no more dangerous than, and may well be less dangerous than, 1,000 times 30 people crammed into a stuffy pub breathing and coughing on each other. And I think that's really been part of the concern that, you know, given that not all sport is available in every home and not everybody can stay home to watch it, people are going to congregate. And if they congregate in small groups in enclosed spaces, they're putting themselves at just as much at high risk. So I think the idea of doing it behind closed doors and everybody going down to the pub to watch it actually is completely wrong. The question is whether we should stop it altogether.
Dr. Sarah Jarvis, their clinical director at Patient Access, and Brady making a very valid point that, you know, you take 30,000 fans out of a stadium, you split them up, and, you know, 500 odd will go to one pub, 500 odd will go to another pub. Ultimately, you're just creating the same problem, but just spreading it out.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, going back to the hand washing thing, you know, I was in the pub after work and with a group of friends, and they were introducing me to this new person. And I happened to go to the toilet at the same time as him. And then he didn't wash his hands. And then he went to shake my hand. So I did this very awkward elbow bump because I saw someone do it to me awkwardly the other day. Like the health minister said, it's not a good thing to do. I think it's, again, I was having a conversation with a Leeds fan actually at work. And I was saying with the stadiums, a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'm sat in the stadium, I'm in open air. I don't think that's the issue as well. I think it's the bathrooms. I mean, like Huddersfield Town, some of the toilets don't have hot water. So, you know, like going to wash your hands and being in that environment's bad enough. And, you know, pubs the same. You know, as I say, I was in a pub earlier and it's like you're crammed. And, you know, the recommendation is to stay 2 metres away from each other. But I just don't think you can. And especially the more people are drinking, watching a game, you know, people kind of forget these things. And it is dangerous. I can completely understand why that's a concern.
It does all seem a bit nonsensical, doesn't it, when you see players refusing to shake hands before games, but then grappling with each other on the football pitch and more than likely having all kinds of contact. You just think, yes, OK, it's good that we're trying to minimise the potential spread, but come on, fellas, a bit of common sense. This is the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. Next up, do you know what? We're actually going to talk a bit of football.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on A Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Brady Frost from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. We've also got Ian Dunn, ex-Huddersfield player, with us on the line too, where you can take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill Standard Policy provides £1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline, not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools and business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Just visit the public liability page on Churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Love Sport.
Gents, I did say we were going to move on to a bit of football, but just very quickly before we do that, I just wanted to get your opinion on the financial fallout of all of this, because, of course, there's plenty going on. One thing, player appearances, that's one that's going to have to be thrown out of the window. So the community aspect of Huddersfield Town is going to have to be put on hold. Of course, everything like programmes for the weekend's games, of course, they've all been written, they've been published, so that is a cost. You've got the cost of food, you've got ticket revenue, etc., etc. And I know that fans have been told to sort of wait and see what happens with ticket revenue, but food is another thing. And we've seen some great gestures from clubs already this week over the past 24 hours or so. Listen, food banks, we're going to send you our food. Any charities, please do get in touch with us, because it's not just what's in the kiosks, it's the hospitality and everything that's been prepared for those games. But Ben, this is part of it, isn't it? This is part of it that we've got lower level clubs. This is where the implications are going to be huge, especially with those games behind closed doors.
Oh, 100%. I mean, luckily for us, I mean, Huddersfield kind of commented that they would be okay. But you've got to think, like, I mean, you know, there's a debate of when the peak of this virus is going to be. And it's okay for the bigger clubs and, the Premier League teams. But, you know, if you look at someone like Macclesfield, for example, they've struggled to play players. And, you know, being in lower leagues, you know, home attendance and tickets is a large part of your revenue. So I think if I was a lower league club, I'd be really concerned, because, you know, where's that income going to come from? I mean, potentially you could see, some loan schemes from the government, or maybe the Premier League could help out. But again, I would be worried. It's kind of all up in the air at the moment, and no one seems to have the answers.
No, it certainly is all up in the air. Gents, like I said, we're gonna talk a bit about football now, because we haven't had a chance really to talk about that. I know the game last week wasn't particularly the best game to discuss. And in fact, before we do that, a bit of nice news. Let's touch on a bit of nice news. Harry Toffolo, of course, spoke out recently this week about his Player of the Month award.
Yeah, it's amazing to be able to get it in my first full month at the club is brilliant. And if I can continue to build on that success that we've had, we got some good results in that month. I managed to get a goal as well and chip in. I'm claiming that assist, the one the other week, which seems to not have gone down. But to get a goal and two assists in one month is great, and I can keep building on that.
Lovely stuff there, Harry Toffolo, just reflecting on that Player of the Month awards in his first month with the club as well. Ian, I love the fact that he mentioned the assist that hadn't gone down in the history books. It's not a stat there. I love that. That's what professional football is all about, isn't it?
That's absolutely, yeah, totally. Sorry, I my line went blind there, so I didn't quite hear that. So apologies for that.
Oh, no worries at all. It's Harry Toffolo just reflecting on the fact that he'd been named Player of the Month. He mentioned an assist that he got recently, and of course it was scrapped off. I think it was against Charlton, that it didn't go down as an assist for him. And he was like, no, I'm claiming that. I'm having that one. But he's had a good start to life, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He's again, this goes back to the Cowley brothers. The signings they made have all been positive. They've been good for town. And I keep probably repeating myself week on week. They are going in the right direction. Which every Huddersfield Town fan at the moment that I speak to are really happy with the appointment of those two guys and what they're doing at the club right now.
And Brady, last weekend, let's talk about it, Leeds 2, Huddersfield Town 0. Of course, it was very much a process-trusting performance from Leeds. That's 5 on the bounce for them without conceding. The only record that went awry, of course, was the fact that Huddersfield had scored in 16 of their 17 away games so far this season. Actually won on your last two visits to Elland Road as well. So went into this one with a little bit of confidence, I suppose. But Leeds, very much superior on the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing because obviously it's the derby game, but, you know, as we kind of said on the pod earlier this week, to some disagreement, but, you know, Leeds are a good side. They've won 21 matches this season. They were just the better team on the day. It's disappointing. I mean, I interviewed Oscar from All Leeds TV about it going into the game, And he said the last thing you want to do is give Leeds an early goal. And then, you know, look what happened. So I think it was very difficult from Town's perspective to come back after that, because Leeds just control the game and it plays into their hands. Yeah, it's a difficult one to take. I think, obviously, with the suspended games now, I was kind of looking forward to having a bounce back against Wigan. But look, you know, yes, it's frustrating to lose to your rivals, but Leeds are on the up. We've just come down from the Premier League after having a rough season, after changing the manager. You know, the Cowleys have come in, and as Ian said, I do believe they're going in the right direction. But, you know, we're in a transitional period, and Leeds have had that, you know, their manager for 2 years, and they're building something. So it's tough to take. But, you know, we move on. That's football, you know.
That opportunity to bounce back, Ian, as Brady described there, as an ex-player yourself, and, you know, having been in the dressing room at Huddersfield Town, is that something that might affect the players moving forward with regards to this ban, if we just bring it back to coronavirus to kind of finish off the show? How will players be feeling about this in terms of their mindset? I mean, I know that you've had breaks before, but will it be difficult for the players to get into the right mindset with a 3 week, we don't know how much longer it might even be, break?
I would hope not. I think you know, this kind of break, I have no idea what clubs will actually do. I mean, question marks there. Will they carry on training? Will they, you know, keep fit in methods and do? It could work in Huddersfield's favour. Bear in mind, the manager still wants to get his point across. He's got new players just bedding in. I would hope and pray that the Huddersfield Town players realise there's still an awful lot at stake. Even though I agree, I think Huddersfield will stay up. But there's an awful lot. When you look at the table, there's a lot at stake, and hopefully, when they do come back to play, that they are firing on all cylinders and ready to go, and hopefully finish the season on a real high.
Okay, Ian, it's been great having you on the show as per. No football this weekend, mate. No football until April the 3rd. So we've got plenty of time to think about what we might be able to do with ourselves. Anything exciting planned for the weekend?
Yeah, well, I had planned to go and watch my hometown team, York City, and about half an hour ago, it's been cancelled.
So oh, no.
The National League North had said that games would be carried on, but York, apparently, and this is literally hot off the press, York City and Altrincham, as clubs, have come together and made a decision, probably the right one, and following the lead of the EFL and the Premier League, and they've cancelled their game tomorrow at Boothland Crescent. So tomorrow, it's looking like a shopping day, guys.
What about you, Brady?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of the same. You know, I was looking forward to the game against Wigan. I suppose I'm going to have to, you know, do something that doesn't involve football. So we'll see what that is. Maybe go for a walk, country walk, and kind of, you know, enjoy the half decent weather recently.
Get out there, mate, and breathe in some of that country. Oh, no, hang on a sec. We're not supposed to breathe in. Oh, who knows what we're supposed to do? Who knows what we're supposed to do right now? Brady, thank you very much for joining us. Brady Frost of the And He Takes That Chance podcast there. Ian Dunn, ex-Huddersfield Town cult hero too. Just talking all things Huddersfield Town. Unfortunately, not looking ahead to the weekend's games, of course, because coronavirus, COVID-19, has wiped out all football until April the 3rd. That means we will return next weekend for the Huddersfield Town Fan Show, but we won't have particular games to reflect on. We'll just touch on the news that will occur from now until next Friday. No doubt there will be plenty more updates going on in the world of the EFL, plenty more updates on coronavirus too. So the Huddersfield Town Fan Show will be back next week, 10:30 here on London.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.